attention, please, honorable member. Sorry for the inconvenience. Last week I was down with the flu, and now this week I'm still not very well, but I'm better. And yesterday also I couldn't turn up because I had a meeting in KZN when it came. Do not think that because I have a meeting with Big Management that I am what they know. It's just probably that the team was helping with something where I am actually the worst off than myself. Right. Without wasting time, I have had a brief discussion with the chief of our committee, and I think I'm in a better position at least to know how where things are by today. There was a protocol which was supposed to be our major discussion today, if at all, our main item of discussion. My secretary says she has checked and if it was under section 231 and one of those protocols that we have not much to question anything because there's those protocols are already entered into. They just need to fire our committee and parliament in order that we know what or that they exist. But they necessarily under the session we don't and we can't do anything about whatever is there. Unless if they is a very, very serious thing which is beyond the state to put our constitution. Right, so as a result, we will allow the presenter to tell us about this this protocol that they have entered into between South Africa, Saudi Arabia, France, Switzerland, and Mexico. And after that, there will be, of course, any member who wishes to interact with them, you will interact with them. And we have some committee business after that to finish off. I don't think that today's program is going to be too long unless members have got many questions. So it depends solely on you. Mr. Mbowete is going to lead us, but before he leads us, probably there are very few. I think you all know us now because we're all from the department. It's only the other lady that I don't know of. Probably she can introduce herself to us. So that we don't waste the unnecessary time. Yes.
Good morning, Honorable. My name is Nandi Junior. I'm from the Office of the Director General of the Council of Planning.
Oh, okay. The other people who would like to know are people sitting that side. Can you please use your noble presence to introduce yourself?
Well, it's not my first time. Yeah,
I'm
my name is
Malcha
from the Greek
Council. Oh, I think I remember you. But usually we use the speaker so that everything's recorded, so that the proceedings are properly captured.
Okay, my name is Malcha. Loka from the British Consulate General here in Cape Town. I'm the Science and Innovation Officer.
I don't remember you last time now.
Good morning, honorable members and chairperson. My name is Christopher and I'm from 7-8.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, honorable members. Ismail Hussain from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Much.
Good morning, everyone. Paul Becchiotta, political journalist with Business Day.
Thank you, man. Right, I think we got him most later from the media. Okay, can you read us?
Honourable members, I'm going to go through this presentation and there's some slides that on the basis of the information that I had, I thought would be useful as a bit of a context into our broader international engagement. One of them is the issue of how we get into some of these engagements. There's normally two main reasons. One of them obviously is the strategic drive. But secondly, we get into some of them because of the political imperatives in order to really satisfy and push for the achievement of our foreign policy. Just to give you a sense of the DST's involvement in international relations, we've got about 33 agreements that were signed, 33 of which are active, and 29 of those are in Africa, and then the rest are, 19 in Africa and the rest are in what we call the bilateral. Just one of the concepts in terms of why we are engaging in international research. Research has really become too costly for one country to be alone. That's one of the reasons why we do that. But we also, more of it, are finding that most of the problems requiring scientific knowledge and expertise are actually not ones that you can tame within borders of one country. And of course, the issue of the scientific talent and world-class facilities that are located in many parts of the world, so we need to be able to reach that out. And just to give you the context, a study that was done a few years ago shows that South Africa contributes just about 0.5% of the global knowledge. And I think for us to really stay in touch, we actually need to somehow find ways of connecting with the 99.5% of the knowledge which we have elsewhere. So that is really why international cooperation is very critical. We've also seen that certain scientific problems require access to particular geographical sites. We are a very good example of that in the sense that, for example, a lot of astronomy work can only be done in places like South Africa. We have other kinds of work that cannot be done here that can be done elsewhere. So that means us connecting with the rest of the world help us to really reach out and access those kind of research facilities. And then we have also seen the growing appetite and need for big science. Mega projects, whether you're talking about what's happening globally in terms of accelerator-based research, where you either have this in CERN in Switzerland, or whether you need to be in Russia and the GINR. So this is really showing that where huge investments are needed, that we can pool our resources. And there's also a huge area of science diplomacy. Now, science diplomacy is an instrument that has been used for a long time and it continues to be used. And this is where sometimes the relationship in terms of trade and in terms of politics can be extremely difficult. And science is normally caught in to smooth the way. And an example of that, for example, has been the ongoing cooperation between the USA and Russia in space science, even when the relationships are not doing well. Other example, for example, is the facilities in the Middle East, where countries that are at war for various reasons, they still pull together resources to do science at what is called the CISAF, which is the research facilities on accelerator-based physics, which is based in Jordan, Israel, Iran, Palestine. They are all putting money and they are collaborating there. So that is really where we talk about the importance of science diplomacy. Our modality for cooperation, joint calls, that is where we agree on areas of importance with our partners and we say we're going to make joint calls to let our researchers research specific topics. And also hold what we call policy dialogue. These are mainly aimed at enhancing and sharpening the other science and technology policies and benchmarking what has been best practices and what we can learn from other people. One of the areas, and this is a very big area, is that of gender staff exchanges. One of the things here that is very critical is that South Africa has just over 20 tertiary education institutions. And we've got a population of 51.52, as we've had yesterday, million. Now, if you give comparison with a country like Finland, with just about 10% of our population, and their universities, without even going to their the so-called temple, are 23. Now, that means that within our own borders, we actually cannot train enough people. And these staff exchanges and student exchange programs are very critical in assisting somewhat, even though we haven't really utilized them to the extent that we need to. But they provide another platform that we can use to really extend our training institutions' capabilities. We also cooperate through competitive calls, and this is where we as a department will somehow find ways of smoothing the path for South African researchers to take part in global competitive opportunities for research, like the European Union Framework Program, whether it is the US NHI, etc. So this is really one of the things that we do. And then, of course, we share knowledge through workshops and conferences. Now, coming to the real question of why I'm here today, looking at the cooperation between the countries stated, starting with France. I provide firstly the overview and where it is relevant and important for us to look at the strength of the particular science system. Now, when we look at the French system, what it has been able to provide for us is that they have generally highly educated population, good R&D intensity, and over the past couple of years, they have been increasing their annual R&D spend by at least €1 billion a year. So that's really significant. We all know that they are really leading export of nuclear technology, and that they are also amongst the top knowledge generation. Actually, when looking, for example, in terms of publications, etc. We've had a number of programs with the French, and France is really one country that we've got very active science and technology partnership with. We had a technical expert who was seconded to support TIA, our Technology Innovation Agency. And then we've got programs such as the FETI, which focuses on the ICT technologies in cooperation with the CSIR. The Safe Water Research Program, which is really dealing with issues of water quality, and that research is being done with the Water Research Commission. And we've got numerous research exchanges in areas such as nanotechnology, human capital development and trade. The relationship so far, we have jointly made 72 calls and organized 18 networking activities, and the French government has invested just over 10 million rands. And the areas of work has been life sciences, engineering, new materials, and sciences and physics. Now, perhaps one of the most prominent area of partnership with the French government is the EFSAT initiative. And this is mainly driven by the embassy of Finland and France with our partnership. The program was initially based at what used to be Pretoria Technical, which is now the University of Technology. And it has trained so many BTEC and MTEC and DTEC students. And the focus there has been mainly in the area of electronics. And the work that they have done there was mainly towards the support for the SMEs, entrepreneurship, etc. That program is really one that can be looked at as a highlight of South Africa-French partnership. We have now extended a similar program to the Cape Peninsula Institute of Technology with the main focus on issues around space science. So that program is doing very well. I have spoken initially about access to global research infrastructure. One such very expensive infrastructure is the synchrotron. This is going to cost billions to really construct. But through the partnership with French, we have actually been granted free access to the synchrotron facilities that they call the survey. So that is really one of the areas that we look at. The impact, we have been able to grow the partnership with the French government to the Thai-Lasalle arrangement. Now, this is where we begin to look at how our partnership with other countries can actually benefit, for example, the rest of the African continent. And what is useful there is that we begin to strengthen capacity in the continent. And what we've done with them was to focus mainly on laser research through the African Research Laser Center, which is based at the CSIR. We have a program now that we're doing called the ERANET Africa, or call it Air Africa. And what we are doing here is one of the challenges the continent has been the low investment in R&D. And we have been wanting to try and encourage the culture of us as Africans investing in areas of research that we deem to be our priority. And it has been about saying, even if we can invest very little, but let us show that we are interested in our own areas of research by putting something on the table. Now, through Air Africa, we have been able to jointly, between ourselves and the European partners, identify what is it that we want to do in Africa and collaborate with Europe. And we have used that particular platform to therefore identify which ones we are going to start working on, but also to say how much is each of the countries from the African side and from the European side going to put on the table. Now, we have really received some very exciting feedback on this one, because countries that would ordinarily not invest anything on research, they have made some pledges. And on the sidelines of the EDCTP event next week, where the honorable members are invited, we are going to be finalizing the signing of some of these thematic SOF. And then the ICEMASA is another area where we're setting up an international joint laboratory on marine sciences with the French. Future plans with the French, this year we launched jointly with the French what we call the French season in South Africa and the Southern season in France. Now, this is being driven by the Department of Arts and Culture, with other government departments contributing from wherever, and we obviously are coming on the science side. So we have already started these activities, and the South African season is going to be running from July until November next year, but the French season has been running now for a while. So that was France. Remember, now coming to Switzerland. Switzerland are a world leader in terms of R&D spending and publications and patents per capita. They are one of the top three countries in environmental sciences publication, and for us, I think that makes them a very exciting partner. Prominent in biosciences research and have a very strong industrial base. The strength of us, they've got very good university sector, strong academic output, they've already indicated. The economy is more than very specialized and service-oriented, and perhaps we need not even mention that they're leaders in biotechnology within Europe, as you can see a lot of the biotechnology companies and pharmaceuticals that are based there. And the programs with the Swiss government, we got a research program running since 2008, and about 84 million rands of investment from the Swiss has really come across in this project. We also collaborate in terms of areas of biotechnology business development, and here we're focusing on young career scientists to really encourage them in concentrating on innovation, looking at the whole area of science to market. Now, we are going to be tomorrow and day after tomorrow having our meetings with the Swiss, basically to look at the progress that they've made. But one of the challenges, of course, has been that such has been the commitment of the Swiss to our partnership that we have actually not been able to keep up coming up with our own matching funding because of budget constraints to really get a lot of programs that we would have wanted to go to take place. So this is really one of the challenges. We have renegotiated, we're going to be launching new costs and hoping that we'll be able to find money to support research activities. The impact, honorable members will be aware of the discussions around the Gilapula program, and this is really going to be big in terms of the first pharmaceutical plant to manufacture active pharmaceutical ingredients for antiretroviral medicines. So this is really one area where I think we're beginning to see the actual impact, which is going to be beneficial in terms of our contribution to the well-being of our society, but also in saving us a lot of money in investment. Human capital development, I've mentioned the entrepreneurship side in terms of science to market. We've had students who have participated in this. But what is interesting is that they have not only participated, but we have started seeing some of them starting companies that are now beginning to employ other people. So this is really a very interesting success story. Our research projects, as outlined through our course, will be coming to an end of this year. So we are going to be wrapping up the workshop to look at how, what has been achieved tomorrow and data tomorrow, but also beginning to plan at the launch of the new call and the collaboration into the future. Partnership with Saudi Arabia, honorable members, you probably notice that I'm not going to speak about the strength of the system here because the system is not strong, but I'm just going to give a brief overview of that system. Of course, we notice economic development is quite huge there, but most of these S&T indicators are very weak. And most of the R&D and SMT in public and university sectors. There's lack of human resources for R&D development. Favorable numbers of patents compared to other oil monarchies, of course. And if you really know how strong the economy is and look at the R&D intensity, 0.2% of the GNP in R&D, that's quite low. The focus, of course, and end up on energy, water, agriculture, environment, and computational science and engineering. We are currently focusing on institutional collaboration with them, and obviously this is really them wanting our institutions to strengthen their institutions. We will be establishing a joint committee and agree on other areas of cooperation. So far, the work that's going on is between institutions, universities, in the areas of engineering capabilities in radar, electronic defense, and research clusters, and specifically focused here is human capital development. Have indicated that their human capacity is quite low in compared to ours. We have in the past engaged the Saudis in terms of the radio astronomy work because one of the things that we are doing is in stretching what we call the very long baseline interferometry network, the VLBI, we want to connect with as many countries in the African continent as possible so that we can join the connection in Europe. And it will really be good to then begin to tailor that into the Middle East and maybe even stretch to the Eastern side. So this is really one area, and then this is the work that is going to support SKA, of course. So we have been expecting a possible fact-finding mission from Saudi Arabia, and we're still waiting to hear from them in that regard. Between South Africa and Mexico, the Mexican system it performs just by comparison to its OECD counterpart, it doesn't really do very well. The investment of 0.5% of the GDP in R&D is quite low. And then here, business finance is 47% of the R&D. Of course, you know, it follows that you see that their patents and publication performance is also low. But they are now beginning to strengthen their international network, especially with LSA. I was in the USA 2 weeks back, and they have effectively even established offices that facilitate research collaboration in Texas, where they are looking at the tier type of support to accelerate the movement of R&D towards commercialization. The technology exports are beginning to grow, by and large, it's really linked to the partnership that I said. They now have a number of places in both Houston and Austin that are focusing on promoting the technology movement between the USA and Mexico. They do obviously you know, we also have the innovation policy that provides the most favorable tax treatment in the OECD. The key challenges, of course, educational level, the regulatory environment, and we also learned that the political commitment to S&T is not that very big. They also don't have much by way of R&D infrastructure, and as a result, you know, one of the challenges therefore begins to be the issue of weak intellectual property rights. That is why some of their launching of the technology products, they are now doing it from the USA, where the protection for IP is quite strong. But all is happening within a system that is evolving, so it's not really a static. Things will probably get much better with time there. The program we have with Mexico is mainly at institutional level. The NNCD is our institutions like the Akasha Research Council, the Memorial, the PTRI, the Plant Protection Research Institute in Pretoria, that is really the center of the partnership, the Zoological Gardens. The area of immunology, infectious diseases, biochemistry, and molecular biology. We signed the intergovernmental agreement in April 2010 with them. Our plan is to continue to encourage institutional collaboration and to jointly identify research and development projects. But this has a little bit delayed due to, again, lack of funding. So basically, honorable members, that really summarizes what we are currently doing in terms of science and technologies with the countries that have been requested to present lecture.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chief. I'll allow members therefore to interact with you and see what their input is. We will take it from there. I see Honorable Smith there, I see Honorable well in that order.
Sorry, I've also seen a bit silly. Thanks for the briefing. I missed it at the beginning. Why are you focusing today on these four countries in particular? Is there an issue of renewal or what? I wasn't quite sure. The active versus the inactive agreements. Could you speak a little to that? I mean, there are 20 agreements which are not active. What does it mean when you say they're not active? What's the sort of legal status of those existence agreements? Or has their term come to an end? Or we just don't like each other anymore? We're not bothering? Or what happens? That whole thing. The French Franco-Sarsian Technical Institute, where we've been training people in engineering. To me, it's interesting to know, is that training, full sort of training through their course of study for the qualification, or is it simply is it an add-on to existing studies that they're involved in? So, somebody comes through, you've got here 28 BTEC students, 68 MTECs, and so on. These presumably support them where? At their own institution where they're studying, which is Victoria Technical College, does it cover them for the entire course? Or am I your question? Slide 14, when you're speaking about the lack of matching funding, actually, it's an issue that we also had a problem with, if you recall, of Capriso trials. And I don't know whether this is a problem going to keep on reoccurring, but it's quite concerning where if we are required, I think even the Minister of Finance, or somebody referred to the other day, well, we are required to put money in respect of international stuff, and we simply don't do it or we do it too late. You know, it kind of worries me a little bit because it does suggest we're being a bit tardy in our approach to international agreements. And I find it a bit of a concern. I'm not sure what the arrangements are with the Ministry of Finance or so on to ensure that this kind of thing is minimized. I was a bit puzzled. Yeah, I can understand the beginning where we have technology agreements with people that are going to benefit from us, or we'll benefit from them. I wasn't quite sure what we're getting out of Saudi Arabia. I know you mentioned that there's going to be some sort of collaboration. Obviously, there has to be some content to it. But it doesn't really seem as if it serves a hell of a lot of purpose to me. If you compare, for example, to Dubai, Dubai has established an innovations hub. They've spent a lot of money on an innovations hub, and they've decided to go the big way for a knowledge economy and innovation as part of the economic future. Saudi Arabia just produces the oil and nothing else. I'm not really sure why we're involved with them. That's just curiosity. Are we involved with Dubai at all? And then you see here which, that the GERD in Mexico is spending is robust, but only half a percent of GDP. I mean, it seems quite low. Why do you say it's robust, but the real GERD growth is robust? Thank you very much.
I'm working from a document. These slides aren't numbered. The other slides, I can't say exactly, but I have three short questions. The one is on modalities of cooperation. Must be the first one. You've mentioned that South Africa has 20 universities. We actually have 23 and two new ones being planned currently. And you compared it with Finland. Now, you mentioned that we need to extend our training facility capabilities. How do you, well, you're not going to do it, but what do you think, what needs to be done to extend to this? Because we've got...
Don't come too close to the microphone, because it is what you want to say.
Yeah, thank you. So I would like your input from that one. In progress with French government, that slide, you've mentioned the collaboration between France and the TUT, the Tshwane University of Technology. I'm particularly interested in your collaboration with the CEPET National University of Technology. You mentioned space. Now, I'm also aware of the fact that the University of Stellenbosch is also keenly involved in issues, or specifically space science. Could you please give us some more information regarding the French input on at that university, specifically space science? Regarding Kemapela, Chair, I would like to suggest that the portfolio committee visits this facility. I think it's quite exciting. Kemapela, the bioeconomy pharmaceutical plant, he mentioned it regarding the Swiss operation. It's just a suggestion, but I think it's a very important
commitment
for the other
guys.
Yeah,
because
we have
already had
this
yeah.
If we are
still
paying
Paranoid
and
our bank, we will
certainly
follow
up. It's one of my favorites. I would just like to suggest to put it on the table. And then I will refer to the Saudi Arabian. Your remark regarding the astronomy, radio astronomy, and you briefly mentioned the SKA, I made a note of it. Does that mean it also connected to the SKA, and then you said SKA, but I would like to know whether, for instance, there will be telescopes in Saudi Arabia, and we know it's virtually between Australia and South Africa. South Africa is going to more or less two-thirds of the project will be housed in South Africa. Could you please give us some information on that? I'm particularly interested in the SKA. Thank you.
If you remember during my budget speech, I covered that too. But if you want to hear his voice, it's fine. I have no problem with that.
So really arrived yes.
The real VIP, interferometry.
Yes.
But of course, we will address it.
See, it's technical. It was in May. You made your speech in May. Thank you.
The Honourable, during the Honourable line, she also wants to say something.
No, thank you, Chair. What is the criteria that is used in identifying the technical liberty job for the project? I'm raising this because chemicals that are in the rural provinces seldom benefit from some of the cities. That's the basis of my question. The technical in the same case in the Nelson Mandela area and so forth. So the criteria that is then being used. In the slide 8, it says the 28 is there a training in LA on this discipline? Is there a monitoring and a follow up on the migration of the students when they're trained? I hope I understood this training, whether it's training that is being done here in South Africa, and when they do they stay in South Africa or do they migrate? I've lost that slide where you talk about some of the students, in fact, that we are reaping the benefits that they got their own companies. Where are those? And where are those? And I want to make a proposal, Honorable Chairperson, that in fact we must have the detail of that, the breakdown of that, so that in our next term we come back to Parliament and also be members of this committee. We are then able to make a follow-up, because it's an area that is quite interesting for me. Where are those and these students? I always have an interest in terms of gender, class, and race.
Which means, DG, the only hope now is to pray hard that we, even if we come and not in this committee after the next term.
And again, on slide 15, the same question, that the criterion that is used in identifying students. You said human capital development and student attendance, whatever. What the criteria is being used? We always have an interest in the committee because we want some of us. I have a strong view of the DG that areas of science and technology have always been a domain of rich male white appetite, and that is why this government has always had some projects in ensuring that that is addressed. And our interest will always have want to know where are some of the students, so that we are able to see and how best can we influence and input in the identification of those. So that is, I want you to understand basis of the of my question of what is the criteria that is then being used. Otherwise, I think I've been covered about Saudi Arabia. I've answered myself. Maybe it's because of oil or else. So, no, thank you very much.
Honorable.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. So I was quite covered by most of our women, but I just want the presenter to give us a bit more detail than what he's saying on slide 15 about the pharmaceutical plan. How far are we? What have we done so far? What are we planning? All those things. And then on the future plan for Saudi, I want the presenter just to be more specific how the SKA is going to benefit from this. So sometimes, whenever I'm in the community, my constituency, which is Kanava, people will ask you that what is the economic spin off, how are we going to benefit, and all those things. So perhaps some of them might hear that there are the future plans of Saudi and won't be able to clarify what it entails and what it's all about. Thank you.
I've just got also some few one or two or three or four questions. She never shot me. The last one who shot was Honorable Lyon, so I have not seen him for the
No, but I don't remember my answer was even before Honorable
Lyon. I didn't hear it. It means that when you read it, you read it and I read it. But it's okay. Continue.
Oh, but definitely it is because they are covered also. The one was also on page 8, which was covered by Honorable Lyon, the criteria that is being used. Select
students.
Yeah, most of
them. I didn't recognize that. Actually, from that side, the only one I recognized was Tunja, but later line also said that you also wanted to add something. You know, for as long as my members want to participate, I feel very good. That's something important to this committee, because I want as more members as possible to have an input. Unlike in other committees, probably they don't want members to have any. But in this case, I want more members to have any. Right. So I can continue with my question. Yes. Oh, okay. Right. As long as I have your permission. Right. No, you said something, Didi, that you are doing a lot of, actually, France is one country that are very much engaged in scientific collaboration. I read the document there which was prepared by our former researcher, who is now a content specialist. She showed that more work in that material. It seemed that Korea was doing more work with a lot of cooperation in the world. I just wanted to hear from you which one is more collaborative in the department between the two. Who assists the other? That's all that I want from that level. I just want to be sure. You remember when we were about to go to Korea? You remember the document that you prepared for us? There was a lot of collaboration that we have in agreement with the Korea, which is why we chose Korea for the record. So I wanted to find out, because if you also for France, we would have used the opportunity in the EU and ask France. Yeah. Okay. Right, the second one is, maybe I said it, but I had some members talking about it in terms of, France, the headquarters of the International Astronomical Congress, do we have that much, in terms of the agreement we have with France, where does Astronomical Congress and Federation fall in? Are they independent or are they part of this agreement? Just want to check that. In terms of nuclear technology cooperation, of course, Quebec is a product of actually the cooperation between France and South Africa. But do you have any plans in terms of the energy bill program that is there because of the nuclear involvement in that energy program? In terms of publication, you said Switzerland is one of the highest countries in terms of publication. Recently, when I was in the UK, I met with the scientific advisor to the government of Britain, and he told me that they are now, he said, they have countries that they collaborating with in terms of cooperation, but South Africa has been collaborating with them without any agreement. But they wanted now to have an agreement with South Africa also so that it should be an organized cooperation. Any information about that? How far are you? Have they approached you? If not, why not? If so, maybe we have details. Alright. And then, yeah, I think
that has already been covered. Thank you, honorable members. I'm going to try and answer all the questions, and if one of the questions is fallen in the cracks, you just let me know which one it is. The first question, which is why I'm focusing only on these four countries, that was the question that I had when I got the information, and then we learned that it is because the particular four countries are going to be tabled for discussion in Parliament. Is it correction? Yeah. So that is why we're focusing on these four countries.
So table for discussion or adoption?
For renewal. Renewal. Okay. Yeah. Now, the question of active versus inactive agreement. The active agreement, you know, as we all know, when you've got this sort of agreement, it really takes the two parties to be active and then in order for them to really go on. Some of the agreements we have signed and the other party had really not come to honor for various reasons. Some of them, they'll indicate that they don't have funding to activate them. And some, of course, are signed because one of the things that we did when we became international players in science and technology again was that everybody wanted to sign an agreement with us. And we signed a lot of them. And in the end, the parties were really not available to implement them. So we got those kind of agreements that would then just sit there, and then they haven't really been carried on. So that's why we call them inactive. So they haven't lapsed or anything, but there's just nothing going on. And of course, we also do our own analysis of the strength of the various sign systems, and where we think that the partnership is inactive, but it's being active will actually benefit our system, then we will pursue those. So the ones that are inactive would be those that, one, we do not see us benefiting a lot from them, or even with our time, they have actually not come on board. I mean, for example, we've been wanting for a long time to strengthen our SNT partnership with Nigeria, and that just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen, regardless of how much we try. So those are the kind of reasons why sometimes the partnerships stay dormant. The issue of FRD and the nature of training and what it covers, whether it covers the entire program, and I'll also address the Honourable Member's question on the selection of students. When you go to China University of Technology, you actually have the FSAT Institute, which is the institute that offers qualifications in electronics engineering. So it really is a whole bouquet that graduate students, BTEC, etc. And it has been strengthened by the appointment of the lecturers from the government of France, from the French institutions, who actually give lessons. And then they range from just theoretical academic work, but leading more even into entrepreneurial work. In my previous life, when I was field manager of technology and resource for industry program at the National Science Foundation, which is the Industry Academic Collaboration Program, the FSAT used to receive a lot of money from the private sector to train the students in courses that are relevant to industry. The students are part of the establishment of the institution. So when students graduate from their national diploma, those who choose to do postgraduate studies, which in a technical language would start on BTEC and then DTEC, if they are in electronics, by and large, most, if not all of them, would be doing it under FRT. So that is really, there's no specific selection criteria, but most of the students who would then move on to do electronics postgraduate would then fall under this particular initiative. A lot of the students, I don't have, and I really just here, honestly remember talking about statistics that's based on any studies. A lot of them, from what we used to follow up on when I was still at the National Space Foundation, actually get absorbed in companies within South Africa. So they don't have them migrating to France or any other country. We do have one or two students who might be coming from France and being trained in this institution. Obviously, they do come back. But the majority of the students are South African, and they continue to be employed meaningfully here in the country. The question about the lack of matching funds. Now, this is a real problem. And obviously, we've got a limited budget, which we are even cutting now, as honorable members might be aware. And what, for example, has come up is that we have been very efficiently using our international budget to actually fish or leverage international funding. For example, prior to being DDG, I was the chief director in a sub-program that had a budget of about 20 million. And we used that 20 million every year to at least attract 100 million from international sources, at least 100 million. So we used that to really fish. when you even don't have the amount to fish with, that's a real problem. So that's really been the challenge that we see. So the limitation of our own budget really then obviously meant that you also are unable to attract more. So, and that is a typical case with our partnership with the Swiss. So it is a challenge acknowledged on the member, but one that we'll continue to wait and see how we're going to resolve. The question on Saudi Arabia, why Saudi Arabia? Is it for oil? Yes, I remember Saudi Arabia is very rich. When we were still lobbying for FDA support, one of the, Saudi Arabia was one of the countries, together with Qatar, that we have targeted to really support some of our astronomy work. And this is because our partnership with the rest of the African countries, we know that they're going to battle to find money to invest in R&D and research infrastructure. And the partnership with countries like Saudi Arabia will therefore help in this regard. And from that side, of course, they see our science system as being relatively strong and as being one they can benefit from. So we're really looking at mutual benefits. They are indeed primary oil-based, but they are beginning to think about the future in terms of what happens when the oil dries up. What kind of economy do they want to have? And they're beginning to look at diversifying and strengthening their science system to at least have a strong knowledge-based economy. And that is really where we think we can actually work together with them.
Maybe let me explain this technically so that because you are putting it politically and it doesn't have the technical connection as I think is needed by the member. The VLPI works like this. The more the landscape is wide, the more the quality of the results and signals that come from galaxies. Now, actually, for one reason, here on Earth, if you have an angle targeting at 12 degrees up in the galaxies, it is equivalent to the diameter of 24 moons. So you must see how much these things happen. So that is exactly why the more, actually when I was in the Space Agency, in the European Space Agency recently, you remember in April, they were showing me the images from the FBI of the more they use more countries wider, how much the signals, how much images they got. So I think that is what you really exactly need to understand, apart from the political understanding of oil.
Thanks, Chair. And the one thing that we have been working on is we have tried to avoid, even when we were lobbying, to use the word SKA and focus rather on radio astronomy. And this is because the SKA bid itself had those specific eight partner countries and ourselves. And when we talk VLBI, we are talking about now making the connection, as the Chair is indicating. It's really more like what you do when you look from space down. When you've got many constellations of satellites, you're able to see a much bigger space. And this is really what the VLBI is going to do. It's going to connect more countries than the partner countries that we have and link it to Europe and then also into the Middle East.
Do you mean
that
this
interferometry, that kind of connecting into galaxies, you see, and then looking at the more the angle is wide, the more the signal that comes. But those are weak signals, by the way. They are many trillion miles away. Because the aim is to get neutral hydrogen. Because by catalyzing neutral hydrogen, we're able to know something beyond what we know, which is about 300,000 years ago. That's the only.
Okay. On the question of Mexico being robust, honorable member, if I mentioned that it was a mistake.
The slide is
The slide rather thin.
What about the bird?
What is the number of the target
One like Rico.
Yeah, 522. Real good versus robot.
Yeah.
Big old day.
Well, yeah, okay. No, that's fine. I don't know what I wrote there, but it's really, as I said, the weakest in the OECD. Yeah. So thanks to our member for picking that up. Then there was a question on the modalities of cooperation. What I meant by talking the issue of extending our training facilities. What I meant is that in terms of how we can develop our own capacities, we need to utilize more our international partnerships to in specific areas. For example, we just launched the space agency very recently. We don't have enough bases to train our space scientists. And this is really where you can begin to say, what can we do internationally? And I've got very exciting examples of how other countries have done it. When Thailand was starting their own space program, what they've done is they sent a huge number of youngsters to EADS in France. And they were working on various types of programs. Many, I think when I went in there, the room had about 50 Thais in there. And the program they do is they go there, they don't have the facility, they send them. They build one satellite with the leadership of EADS, and they build the second satellite together, and they build a third satellite mainly with the leadership of the Thais themselves. So in the end, they know how to do it. And when they go back, they've got enough critical mass at least to get the program going. That's really where I say, because we don't have this facility, we can perhaps use our international partnerships to say, what are the area of critical skills where our capacity for training isn't good enough or big enough, and then use that to sort of say, we can springboard and use our international partners for this. And some of them are quite keen to support those kind of ventures. So that's really what I meant in that. Then there was a question of clarity on the French partnership program on space science at Cape Peninsula University of Technology, and why the issue that we had to do to address was one that the honourable member has asked about how the institutions are identified. While we were working towards the establishment of the space agency, one of the things we realized we needed to do was to begin to have some training focusing on space science capacities. And then we had a question, we know the strength of the industry of Stellenbosch, but then we had a question of how do we then begin to reach out to the majority of the student populace who are not going to be traditionally the typical white males. And the identification, at the time when we identified the institution, it was actually the Peninsula Technical, which is now part of Cape Peninsula Institute of Technology. In fact, the program started there. And the main focus there was to begin to catch those students and help them participate in these programs. And these programs are about building what we call the CubeSats or the CubeSatellites. These are small satellites, which even though they are small, the technology that goes in there is big enough to provide these students with the training as if they are working on real satellites. And these CubeSats are becoming a big thing in terms of testing the technologies of space, etc. And this is where we really are beginning to look into diversifying the kind of people that you find in these programs. So honorable member is trying to really look at it. And the thing why sometimes we have not been able to see similar programs, for example, in a lot more of other technical universities, is because you find that some of the technical universities, the universities of technologies, especially those in historical disadvantaged areas, they would not have engineering, which is where these programs would normally be located. It has been the same challenge, for example, when you want to do a specific program and you say, okay, which universities do we want to invest in? Vendor, University of Popo, or University Water School University, and then find that there might not be an engineering faculty there. So those have been some of the limitations for some of these initiatives. And of course, as and when opportunities arise to really zoom into those, where we will probably look at and consider these suggestions.
Which is therefore the reason why we are advocating in this committee, so that you don't have any similar the excuses of this nature. There is university in Northern Cape that is going to be built, where all facilities of astronomy are located for South Africa, including the sky. Now let me tell you the problem that I meet whenever I get invited in this international meeting. For instance, I didn't know that there was a program like this in science and technology, because I did hint last time to the minister, former minister, but each time when I attend the Astrological Congress, they want me to bring 12 students from South Africa to attend it, because they are youth sessions there. But they are not youth sessions of low level, they are very advanced. I attended some of them, I could not believe it. Now, you need people who really, because they are, all of them are postgraduate, postdoctoral students, PhD students, presenting their works. Now, we need to have some time, me and Solidarity as a committee, how we can do that better. And now that we know that you have a program like this, which is having a problem of identifying where these students can be. But one of the first things that we must work together as you, the Department of Science and Technology, and us as the Committee of Science and Technology, is to try and influence the Minister of Education, because they are actually competent. They must dedicate the university there to be a center of excellence in astronomy, in astrophysics, or astronautics, whatever the case may be. Because without that, how long are we going to be going to other countries and come back two or three? Because if we have our program, we can invite those people to come and teach there until they locate, I mean, they localize the technology in South Africa.
Right.
Yeah.
Regarding
the Finch training of students, did I hear you correctly, at the put on CubeSats? Because I would like to know whether you are aware of the fact that the University of Stellenbosch, specifically on microsatellites, they are very advanced. And do you also use our expertise to train? Because I think that this university will be able to train the French regarding microsatellites, for instance. So we cannot just oversee the competence and the knowledge and the intellectual capital that this country has. And to what extent then is this university, as opposed to the French, involved in the CPUT?
Just a quick answer to that.
So that you answer that also. In this, do you have a relationship with the Department of Higher Education and Training, so that you are then able to encourage some other thing, and then also encourage some, you said you've identified water system, I'll make an example, and only to find out that there's no faculty of engineering. How then do you then bring in Department of Higher Education and Training? That's why I'm asking about the relationship.
And how do you then not say that we have one problem, you know. We want to whilst we develop it, we also want to transform. But how do we transform if these universities do not have the facilities that are needed for that purpose? And then the Department of Higher Education then comes in to develop those type of facilities in those universities, so that all universities can collaborate. Actually, universities like Stellenbosch can. There are schools in my constituency. They have top schools, which are formerly Model C schools. Because of this kind of innovation, they have adopted schools that are poor. And I know one high school where actually the result before they were adopted, they only had a 20% pass. The following year when I visited these schools, I found that they had 98% pass. I said, how? So what a job did you still favor? They said, no, actually, we have been adopted by that school, which has, for the last 30 years, they say they have had 100% pass in math and science. So these are the types of things that we were supposed to engage in. If we can't say for us and say, well, because there are no facilities, we can't go there or for whatever. We have to find an overall strategy to solve the problem. Okay? And here Parliament is exactly doing that to give you ideas. That is our role as members of Parliament. Her emphasis is that, why do you front when we have the Stellenbosch University here with all its expertise? And here, Honourable Member is saying, why do you not influence the Department of Education so that in those rural areas that were degraded by apartheid, that they also are put into a ban? See, they're very important to place some argument.
Just a question about Stellenbosch involvement. Actually, this program is about Cape Peninsula University being the base with the collaboration with the University of Stellenbosch. So the University of Stellenbosch is part of that, but the program is based at Cape Peninsula University of Technology, with the staff from Stellenbosch also involved. And we know the strength of the University Tech of Microsatellite, which of course is not the same as the CubeSat, yes. But the Stellenbosch is part of that program, as is our SANSA, Sovereign Space National Space Agency. So that one is sorted. The point about the role of the Department of Education on this particular program, I will probably have to go and find out what kind of engagement has been there with the Department of Education. I don't know. And I take the point that we mentioned that we probably in areas, and I think at some point when we need to get the mountains moved.
Let me give you before because we have said already, you don't know. I'll tell you because I have some institutional memory. In 2005, we had a joint international workshop here at CTICC with the Department of Education, that it was still not higher or basic, it was education. We tried to negotiate. The main aim was the thing that we brainstormed here in this meeting, that science and education have to work together. There is no way that you can succeed if you separate them. In fact, our advocacy here was that, like in many countries, when you go to many successful economies, you'll find education and science that they are eating together as ministers. You see? So we stress that from that point of view, we've been to Sweden, we found exactly the same arrangement. I can mention a number of them. Because that is why every time when we are here, we are trying to analyze events, every time we find a situation where we must go and seek permission from the Department of Education, which we necessarily do not need if we had organized ourselves accordingly. Remember that even the Department of Science and Technology, to be what it is today, it also came from this committee. When we came here, this was a very, very amorphous department with art and culture, with science and technology, all shuffled together, nobody knew where it comes from, that's where science and technology start. And so we pushed it from here until in 2004 it was separated, you see. Because it made sense. We started taking in this committee by forming subcommittees. subcommittee on us, and that is subcommittee on social science and technology. So then we brought in reports every time from this. Then it came for us. Everybody saw what we meant. And that's why it was before they separated. So we have institutional members. In fact, we do have good cooperation, but of course ministers change. We do not know now these new ministers whether they would like to collaborate with us, and we want to have his own capacity or of power. So that's another good question. But that's the way up. Without this way, you will come and organize everything very well, but you'll be stuck. Now you need a permission, some kind of a fine from the Minister of Education.
Thanks. I mean, of course, it will take continued refining of the relationship. We keep doing that. One point raised around the Gitlapila facilities. I don't want to take the thunder from my colleagues who might be coming to update the portfolio committee soon, but there are some very exciting developments there in terms of coming on board of the Department of Trade and Industry, health, etc. And I think the report that I'm referring to has analyzed the so-called business case of this facility and in terms of what it is going to save government and the issues of employment creation, etc. But also to really bring back what we have lost, which is really our capabilities around drugs and vaccine manufacturing. So that report will probably be presented at some stage. So that particular item is really moving, and it does look like there will be some exciting days ahead.
What I actually forgot to add also about the meeting, about the international workshop for science and education, is that for the first time we also invited INA to be part of that, because we said, what type of developing science that has no connection with industry, what type of education that has no connection with science, and so forth. And so we had one of the top speakers there who gave some very brainstorming ideas about developing technology, that we must not wait for technology to develop up at the top at the PhD level. It can develop even from the ground. Mm-hmm. Was the Director General of the CSIR of India. I didn't even know that there was CSIR in India. He said he told us that actually himself, at least back in India, he was roaming the streets of London, having finished his PhD, because there was no place for going back to India, because they had not organized an infrastructure for people like himself to really engage and make some difference on the economy of India. But he said the taking over of the president of India, who was himself head of Academic Sciences of India, and collected all of the people from the world, put them back, said, you must make a difference there. The baby came there. Everybody who spoke after him, they always referred to what he had said. And they were in the hospital. The current director of the University of Pretoria also played one of the standing papers. She was one of the keynote address speakers, Professor Tillery. So we have the capacity, but it needs to be kept in correct.
Okay, thank you. The question about FKA radars from whether there's going to be FKA in Saudi Arabia or telescopes. There will be a radio telescopes there, but not FKA. There will be the CLBI ones, as the honourable member has indicated. So that if this comes into being, as we're beginning to also look at having similar telescopes in other African countries. I have addressed, by and large, the question the honourable member asked around how the technicons are identified, etc., and whether the students that are trained are actually leaving the country or not. I've addressed that part. Where I will need to go and find out the answers is on the specific beneficiaries of our SIS partnerships, those who have gone and they've come back and they've also established companies. Their whereabouts and the nature of the companies, I think that's what I'm going to have to go back and pick up. I've mentioned something on the pharmaceutical plant. I have also touched on the activity that we plan with the Saudis, and we've indicated that it's not just about oil, but we're looking at how we can partner specifically on radio astronomy. And then there were questions from the chair around the comparison of Korea versus France partnership. Now, if I am to really provide a list of our top collaborative partners in science and technology, I would really have the European Union as a group. They come up tops in terms of what we get from them, whether it's money, whether it's partnership, whether it is how we benchmark our policies. So the relationship has been just in its own league. And then we've got countries like Germany and France and Switzerland. In terms of a country like Korea, I don't think it is strong enough, or it is as strong as it should be. Because, and this is really now a personal view, my personal view is that we can actually strengthen the capacity and even the effectiveness of TIA through partnering countries like Korea. Because through their tribals, they're really dug out in terms of technology commercialization, technology development, etc. And that, for me, is what one should look at getting from them, and we, I don't think we're getting it.
And what are you waiting
for? I've been waiting to become a DD Honorable Member. It just happened, and now, as I'm speaking, the DD is actually in Korea. So we're hoping that we're going to be able to extract some of the lessons that we need. And as I said, specifically looking at how TIA can become effective in its mandate. The question about what we're benefiting from the nuclear peace program. And here I'll probably speak...
In terms of nuclear cooperation with France, what is your strategy actually in the new energy group? Because most of the strategy that whoever becomes tender winner, you know that whatever. I'm trying to say that you should have a strategy which should inform the programs that we have for South Africa. In terms of whoever will be dominant in the nuclear program, which I think, as I know, as I have heard, is about 6 billion constituents in all of the years. So you should have a strategy. You can't say that having this kind of leadership for the country and the international cooperation in terms of trade and science cooperation. You can't have a strategy on a very big program energy like this. You can't help with that.
Honourable Member, I share my views here, and these are not on paper or anything. The build program like the one we're expecting on India, one of the things that we actually would like to do is when these engagements are entered into, and we've got conditionalities in terms of what the countries must do. One of the things that we would want to do is to say part of those conditionalities must actually include how we build our own SMP capacity going forward. So that, for example, and what we have seen in other countries, specifically with the growth of the Chinese economy and the expansion into Africa, we have seen instances where roads and stadia are built, and even the potholes are actually fixed by the Chinese. So what we would want to do is make sure that when you've got the programs, you've also got educational programs that are going to link to that to build our own capacity. So that's really my
I'm familiar with the so-called localization accord. I'm familiar with it. Okay, we'll talk later then. But if that is what we want, that anything that anybody who gets engaged there is an accord entering into last year, understandably, by many stakeholders with the Minister of Energy. So the localization accord is very important that you must read, because it will inform what we are trying to say. So that is strategy. That's why I say that we must have a strategy by now. If by now don't have a strategy so many billions, then you are hoping that Saudi Arabia will come and help with oil, then you are in the wrong play.
Okay, and then on the issue of UK-South Africa partnership, yes, in terms of publications, and just when you dissect the partnership between institutions, you find that the partnership with the UK is probably the one that stands out above the rest, but we don't have an agreement. The UK has just appointed a new signed attaché for South Africa. I met with him a few weeks back, and we've got another meeting that we're scheduled to have, and we want to look at this, because our sense is that we can actually build and strengthen the partnership if we have said and at political level agree and commit to specific area of activity. You just strengthen what is already going on, but probably give more direction and energy going forward. Now the last point, Honorable Chairperson.
It's probably why we have an AD there from consulate, exactly for that purpose. Yeah. So you need to start here. There she is representing that science and technology that indirectly.
I can maybe just call me here. This is my colleague in Pretoria.
Sorry?
The person you were referring to is my colleague in Pretoria at the High Commission. He's Mr. Moody. I'm his colleague down here. So anything in Cape Town, I can help you with that. But yes, he's mostly interacting with the DST because they located up there. And yes, they are discussing about this formal agreement that they hope to sign with South Africa, and very much looking forward to that.
He is from DST, actually. Therefore, it's a better place to talk to them there. Well, but at least it's important for him to know when he's around here that he also has their production.
And lastly, Honorable Member, as to whether I pray that you don't come back, my prayer is actually to the contrary, and I do religiously go to church on Sunday, and one of the things I pray for is for continuity. So I hope you are all back.
I just wanted to say, if
I can really just check again if I covered all the questions, and then I'll...
Yeah, I think we'll take if anybody has anything, any follow-up questions, yeah, those follow-up questions.
Yeah. Chair, you asked a question earlier about how you rank our agreements, and you started by the EU, the collective, Germany, and just countries. But those where we have agreements. Now, we don't have an agreement with, say, UK. I don't know what other countries we don't have agreements with. But how would you rank our cooperation with countries without agreements in the hierarchy of those with agreements? I mean, you said we have a very good relationship with the UK, but we don't have an agreement. How would you compare that relationship in terms of the exchange and the interaction between the two countries compared to those other countries with whom we do have agreements?
Yeah, in terms of the countries that we don't have an agreement, we do is we monitor the activity between institutions. Then we've got a country like Canada where we don't have an agreement, but a lot of our partnership, and obviously this predates 1994, where there have been engagements between the African National Congress and the Canadian government, which has led to, if one of the members may recall, the famous foresight studies. Those were work that predated 1994, even though it was done towards 1999-2000, and that was informed by the Canadian partnership. We don't have an agreement with them. The very famous chairs of research that we have in South Africa, again, another Canadian model that we're working on. So, in terms of the relevance of the government direction and the strength of the partnership, I would say Canada is really quite high, even though we don't have an agreement, but the work that we do together, and they use their development agency to support our work, is very much aligned. For example, their support for the work around HIV and AIDS, etc., is very related. Whereas if I look, for example, at what's happening with the UK, it's been traditionally driven by the relationship between researchers, the universities. So you've got a professor at the university who knows somebody in Cambridge and got work going. So it's not specifically focused on government leading and saying, these are areas of priority for us, so let's drive it together. So that's why you then, in that context, need some kind of a partnership where you can then say, this is where we want to go and can we work this together. And then, of course, we also don't have the similar relation with the USA because they don't have an equivalent. Their system is mainly run by their institution, so you end up having the NHI partnering with the MRC and the NRF. Those are the types of the differences. So even when you rank these relationships, one has to be careful because not necessarily apples with apples. So you therefore need to have various classifications before you can actually say I'm ranking them.
That's very clear. It's very, very clear.
See, you mentioned earlier on India. Is there any kind of collaboration between the BRICS countries regarding science and technology and are the agreements between these countries regarding science and technology? Thank you.
Not only BRICS and IPSA. IPSA and BRICS.
Thanks, Honor, which have the question. Now, the interesting thing about the BRICS is that even as we prepare to hold the summit next year, last year there was an official launch of what we call the senior officials meeting for science and technology. And that meeting started and it just identified broad areas of cooperation. Now, I'm pleased to inform the honorable members that the second senior officials meeting within BRICS of science and technology, it happens here next week on the 8th of November. And we are beginning to want to define specific areas of focus. Now, what is exciting within BRICS is that you've got India and Brazil and China with almost similar challenges in terms of what technologies can do for the bottom of the pyramid. And that is where we want to extract most of the lessons. So the meeting next week is going to expand on the areas that have been identified and begin to say, we've identified a long list of areas. Which ones we want to zoom into and use as the first line of implementation? So there is now going to be within BRICS a focus on science and technology. On IPSA, in my view, has been, in terms of the implementation programs, a very disappointing platform. We've had proposals of areas, and then the partners don't quite come back on board as vigorously as we had hoped them to. And as a result, on the sidelines of the BRICS senior officials meeting next week, on Friday we are going to be having our bilateral with Brazil, basically to look at how some of the agreed programs have not been. For example, we had within ITA the Space Night program, and we have wanted to push this because we saw the opportunity, but it has really not come on board. So it is there in the ITA side, but it's been painfully slow to get off the market. We're hoping that we're going to try and give it some kick to move.
For me, Chair, it's just a comment that starts by saying charity begins at home, and there is nobody who is to uplift Africa except Africa herself. And therefore it is very important that whatever arguments that you may be having, even if some of them are dormant because of whatever reasons, can we try to ensure that starting with SADC on science issues, and especially of what the chair said about the Indian, the speaker from India. So if we can try and do that, I think it's just a comment on my side that it must be Africa herself that liberates and empowers herself on science matters. And if South Africa were to take that lead, let it be. It's just a comment. I'm not expecting him to respond. So as we go back, they must then see how person
is. Right.
Yes.
Honourable Member, can I comment on a comment? Thank you, Chair. I think and obviously one of the things that I tend to do, and I take this from the comments that were made previously after the committee's visit to the European Union, that there was much about international cooperation that the committee has not been informed about, and hopefully we'll have more opportunities to come and do this. We have... we're going to do that, but one of the things that I just wanted to quickly mention is that because we have quite a good reputation internationally, the South African science system, and we've been able to leverage resources to support our own system on the basis of that reputation. Now, what we have started is what we call the trilateral partnerships, where we are now using this privileged position of ours to bring on board in the partnerships other African countries. We have already done that with investment from the government of Finland. We were able to obtain about 30 million rand, which was used to support the SADC biotechnology initiative. And as I'm talking to you yesterday, I was at a meeting to extend a similar program again on biotechnology. And we're hoping that out of this program, at least we might get about another 100 million to support initiatives which looks at various issues that is around agriculture, specifically climate change, again in the SADC. So we want to really begin to build it. And hopefully, what had happened when the NEPA program started, we had South Africans who were seconded to NEPA, whose term ended and they came back. And then after that, the SADC program just headed upwards. And we really want to begin to say, we need to assume that leadership role. Because we've been shy, we've been wanting to avoid being looked at as being the big brother. But the problem is when you withdraw, nothing then happens. And we really want to continue to go back and then move this. So honorable member, we really realize that one of the things that science and technology is going to have to do very strongly is to support our foreign policy using science and technology.
Now, before you close, they have actually provoked very important things from me. How far are you away with the European Union Climate Parliament? Climate Parliament, do you have any familiarity with that concept? No? Okay. Now, let me tell you, that's why it's very important to come to Parliament. You will come here very, very wiser than before.
I'm only being
wiser. Than before, let's say. They will come wiser than before.
Yeah.
Now, there is climate parliament. Actually, from what I have heard now in your presentation, it bothers a great amount of members, I think, because climate parliament, the session that they have now for next the 2 weeks' time, it's going to be held in different parties, rotating in different capitals. And this one is dedicated mainly on climate change, on sub-Saharan Africa, the Middle East, and the South Asia. So look how much already touches on the work that you do. Now, over and above, the members of the Committee in the European Union, on the 5th of November, what is Georgian Queen? It is the European Commissioner for Research. European for Research. Actually, in the recent conference, the biggest European conference after World Science Forum is the ESOF. ESOF, and I was invited in ESOF. And she was one of the openers of that conference. So a very senior person. And I think she has interest in us because we were in the European Union, and we raised a number of these interesting things for them. I've got so many letters saying that you want to see me on this field, if there are any members of our committee who want to join, and I assume everybody will want to join. So we will be meeting with her on the 5th of November. Very important, I think. And that's where we must bring from all of these kinds of things. Climate Parliament, I'm invited to this level by the chair of the European Climate Parliament. These are things that are supposed to not to bother. You should have supposed to be knowing about them because you are actually in charge of this program. Ourselves, we are policymakers. We are not supposed to be. I should hear more of your activities outside in the area of international relations and science and technology.
Yes, honourable member, we actually invited Commissioner Gugenkwin for the ADCT conference. We've been engaging with her since she became the commissioner. It's one area that I guess showed that the partnership with the European Union is very strong because she came to become the commissioner representing the replacing the previous one. She has indicated that she doesn't have any interest in traveling outside of the EU. And when we introduced her to Minister Pando, that suddenly changed. And you might have realized there has never been a European-based science event where Minister Pando was not invited, which includes the ESOF where
we have three keynote addresses, Minister Pando there in ESOF, the way she attracted the interest of everybody. So that's why I'm saying that regional budget, honorable members are talking about, to engage even start from home, especially in terms of climate parliament, which is ready, look, it's going to Sri Lanka instead of coming to Botswana or to Johannesburg.
Yeah. Just a small one, maybe a little bit on Nigeria would be interesting because I just assumed it was a symptom of foreign policy differences or bulls in the crawl kind of thing. But could you give some more concrete story about the relationship and why it's not performing?
Honourable member, it's not concrete. We speculate because we meet and this excitement, we're going to get things happening, we're going to do it, you know, this is how we're going to start. And then
he is supposed to know more. You are just an official and operator. He is supposed to know more.
So I have assumptions. I just wanted to see whether my assumptions are correct. Now, so far the answer is no, actually. So I'm just trying to see where the breakdown is.
Engage in our research unit here to find out why. Remember, I think he's bored now. We can't say must take out the court because we have already finished. Okay, thank you very much, Titi. But it was a very, very informative. I'm glad where you've answered it. In fact, all of us, we are satisfied with it. You are really on top of your work. But I am not promoting you. I am just commenting about what happened today. I don't know outside of here what you do. Thank you very much. Members, we've got our business here. We're still going to continue. We'll finish. Okay, thank you very much, DDG. Hope you all have a safe trip back. We've got just a few announcements here, which we must probably look into, and then we'll end also our...
You can't
to the committee, I'm prepared or is prepared.
No.
We have taken it on much people much in order.
I hate that we can't compress them. But that is why you see that they are having a clean record, because they can't prepare it. You can sit here. Right, okay.